proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another lesson about Jewish beliefs. We were looking at Jewish conceptions of the coming Messiah. Jews do not think that the Messiah will save them in the sense of giving his life to atone for their sins. Nor do they believe that the Messiah will partake of the divine nature. Indeed, the philosopher and author Moses Maimonides expressly declared that the coming Jewish Messiah would only be a man. Nonetheless, Jews do have certain definite expectations in connection with the person and work of their coming Messiah. They believe that Messiah will descend from the lineage of David, as prophesied in the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. They believe that the coming Messiah will manifest great military ability, defeating Israel's enemies in battle, a trait that Psalm 45 implied. Jews believe that Messiah will judge the world in righteousness, as written in the 33rd chapter of Jeremiah. After the Jewish people in Israel became subject to oppression by occupying powers, they longed for a conqueror who would rise up and liberate them. Some of them believed that God had brought Judah the Maccabee to be their deliverer. Judah the Maccabee flourished in the 2nd century B.C. In B.C. 164, his forces drove out of Jerusalem the armies of King Antiochus IV of Syria. Israelite forces recaptured the temple, which King Antiochus had defiled. The priests then cleansed the temple and rededicated it, a ceremony to which the holiday known as Hanukkah is given. To some Jews, Judah the Maccabee had accomplished nothing less than the preservation of a distinct Jewish identity. Yet Judah the Maccabee himself saw himself primarily as a warrior. He never laid claim to the title of Messiah. Plus, he died in battle several years after his initial victory. A later Jewish tradition held that two separate messiahs existed. One of them, named Messiah ben Joseph, bore the nickname the Suffering Messiah. The other one, called Messiah ben David, became known as the Ruling Messiah. Rabbis developed the concept of a suffering messiah from several verses found in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. In that passage, the prophet described God's servant with these words, quote, "a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief," unquote. Quote, "stricken, smitten of God and afflicted," unquote. Quote, "wounded for our transgressions," unquote. Quote, "bruised for our iniquities," unquote. These expressions suggested that such a servant would suffer greatly. It's true that some Jews have applied these verses not to a coming Messiah, but to the Jewish people themselves. Yet, such an interpretation would contradict God's statement in Jeremiah chapter 31. In that passage, he declared that the nation of Israel would never cease from existing. Whereas if Isaiah chapter 53 talked about Israel, then Israel would indeed have had to die. Rabbis also referred to a ruling Messiah, drawing from the description of the Son of Man found in Daniel chapter 7. Quote, "there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom," unquote. Such teachers also pointed to the child and the son described in Isaiah chapter 9, where the prophet wrote, quote, "of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end," unquote. Since some Jewish minds could not conceive of a single individual fulfilling both tasks, they conjectured, therefore, that two separate messiahs must exist. The concept of one Messiah and two comings was unknown in the Old Testament. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another program about Jewish belief.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.